May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There are moments in life when the ordinary suddenly becomes the extraordinary, even holy. A familiar place, a chance conversation, an unexpected silence, and something shifts. We realise that God has been with us, but we didn't recognise it at the time. Well, this is Jacob's discovery in today's first reading. He's not on a spiritual retreat, let me tell you. He's fleeing, having, as we heard last Sunday, cheated his brother and then deceived his father. He is running for his life. He is alone in the wilderness with a stone for a pillow, and he falls asleep. And Jacob has a dream, depicted by many of the great artists. It's a dream of angels ascending and descending on a stairway or a ladder to heaven. An image that Jesus obviously loved as well. Remember when he called Nathanael, he said to Nathanael, "You will see greater things than what he'd seen already. You will see angels ascending and descending to heaven." An image picked up, as I said, by many artists. A favourite of mine is William Blake, and his is more like a stairway to heaven. And the pop group Led Zeppelin have a very famous song of the same name. Jacob's dream of angels ascending and descending, and the Lord above renewing promises made to his father and grandfather, Isaac and Abraham. And when Jacob awakens, he proclaims, "This is surely the place. This, the Lord is here." We note that Jacob has been a rogue, far from perfect, yet God has plans for him. A covenant, a big picture. God doesn't wait for Jacob to be perfect. No even probation period. No lecture. God has made a promise and intends to use even the flawed personality of Jacob to make this promise come good. So this is the message that the psalmist gives us in Psalm 139 as well. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Whether the heights of heaven or the depths of Sheol, in darkness and in light, God is there in all places. Whether the heights of heaven or the very bottom, God is there. Well, that may sound a little unsettling. I'm sure, like me, you like some privacy, even from God. But the psalmist speaks not of surveillance, but of loving care, that God is everywhere, knows us fully, knows our failures, our anxieties, our griefs, our fears, and yet God does not abandon us. God is there with us. Well, this is Jacob's big discovery at a time when he was very fearful. And the psalm reminds us that we cannot outrun God's love. This was a big turning point, I've got to tell you, in my own life. I think at the time when God was especially calling me to a different way of life, to ministry in the church, I took off and didn't want to know about it. And God had other plans for me. So I think this is true for all of us. God has plans for us. And you read about many of the great heroes of the faith, like that great little man, St. Francis of Assisi. His life was going in a very different direction, driven by his father's business interests. But he was transformed and became a champion of God and a champion of the poor. We cannot outrun God's love. This thought reshaped me and my attitude to others, reshaped St. Francis, reshaped many of the great heroes of the church, and I hope it touches on your heart as well. Then Jesus goes on to tell the disciples a parable about wheat and weeds, a tale that will further extend their understanding of God. The servants in this story want to pull up the weeds. It's clearly a story about the righteous and the wicked. The servants want immediate action, and the master says, no, let them grow together, wheat and weeds. I wonder if you remember Dave Allen, the Irish comedian, an unforgettable story of him being a kind of a Ian Paisley type personator in the pulpit. And he tells that story, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And a voice from the congregation says, what if you haven't got teeth, sir? And the Paisley impersonator says, teeth will be provided. We live in an age of instant judgment. In politics, the news cycle might be just a day or two. In social media, even quicker, and huge damage, as we know, can be done in a flash. But even in the church, we become anxious to identify who belongs and who doesn't. Well, Jesus warns, things are rarely that simple. Wheat and weeds look alike when young and growing. You pull up the weeds and you can damage the crop. The church has always been a mixed field. Every congregation contains saints still growing, sinners still learning, doubters seeking faith. Faithful people carry hidden wounds. We are all a mixture of wheat and weeds. Holiness and selfishness, faith and fear, generosity and pride, often coexisting in the same heart. The story is God is patient, and this patience is not indifference to evil. Jesus makes it very clear that evil will not have the last word. Justice will come, but judgment belongs to God, not to us. Meanwhile, God's mercy creates a space for change of heart, for healing, and for transformation. Some commentators believe this is the major theme in that Led Zeppelin song, Stairway to Heaven. Well, St. Paul, writing to the Romans, acknowledges that creation, humanity, and our very selves groan as we wait for transformation. We all agonize over the fact that there is war and violence, when families are under tension and strain, when the environment is being ravaged, when we suffer illness or loneliness or grief. We feel the pain ourselves. And Paul uses the image of childbirth. Labour is painful, but this pain points towards new life. So too with creation. So too with humanity and community and our own lives. Every aspect of life has potential for renewal. Pain or suffering comes first before often there is renewal. For Christians, this is hope. Not that we disregard suffering. On the contrary, we know that we live in a tension between promise and fulfillment. Jesus' own suffering and death opened the way to resurrection and new life. And herein lies the rhythm of our lives under God. Week by week, we gather in this place around word and sacrament to worship God. We confess our sins, not because we're rejected, but because we are welcomed. We hear God's promises, and we are comforted and strengthened by them. Ordinary bread and ordinary wine become signs of the extraordinary in our presence. God's grace is here. Surely, we say, like Jacob, the Lord is in this place. And the Lord is in you and me. Jacob's stone marked the place of encounter. He named it Bethel, the house of God. The Lord is here. Jesus is our place of encounter. We call him Emmanuel, God with us, through the Holy Spirit, dwelling among us and dwelling in us. So as we go out and live our lives this week, we carry the promise that God dwells in us. It will surely transform how we relate to others, and maybe even transform the lives of those around us. Jacob was transformed as he entered into God's vision. Jesus' parable blew the minds of the disciples as they learned about patience and trusting in God. Let us never forget that we are always in God's presence. And as we leave this beautiful place today, we enter into quiet holiness within our own ordinary life. But surely the Lord is there. He desires that we be a people who carry that transforming faith, hope, and love of Jesus wherever we go, no matter what happens to us, even in the midst of pain, for we know that beyond that, there is new life, love, and renewal. The Lord be with you.